Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor, senior citizen pastor at Brookside. And we have been visiting this last time with Tim and Jeannie Borkert, and they shared with us the shocking story of being on vacation, Tim, and you get a phone call from the sheriff that says, your house has burned down. That's not exactly what happened, but that's the message that you got. You and Jeannie were shocked, like, okay, what in the world do we do now? And you were sharing with us how that you had specifically desired to have this vacation time to share Christ with your brother and to try to help him to understand what took place in your life to make a change in your life. And now this tremendous test comes your way for your brother to see how you're going to respond. And we were talking last time about God giving us tests like that to bring us to the place that we will trust him and not be afraid. And Jeannie, you were talking about how that was the first natural response. As we were looking at that, we finished our program by saying that God often gives us tests, like a teacher gives us tests. Our earthly teachers give us tests to see what we know. Our heavenly teacher gives us tests to see who we know. During this time, Tim and Jeannie, who did you know? And who did you get to know better as a result of the test?
Well, that obviously is our Father in heaven,
right?
And Jesus. He specifically brought to my mind Psalm 18. And I don't know how many times I reread that psalm, and I read the whole thing too, not just part of it, but the entire psalm. To me, was very powerful. And it basically, to me, not only shows God's strength and power, but how he responds to your prayer and how he responds to your need. And how within the psalm it talks about an enemy. And to me, at that point in time, the enemy was the fire and, you know, Satan in trying to take me away from talking to my brother. And so I reread that, just placing the enemy as being Satan in the fire. And each time it showed me that God was going to defeat that and he was right. going to overcome it and help me to get to that point where I was going to be able to bring that message to my brother.
Read those verses to us, would you?
Okay, well, the first two verses are really powerful, and that is what I think I'll read to you. It states, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold.
And as you look at all of those descriptions of God, wow, what a resource of study to be able to make a biography of God and just write each one of them down and then just beside each one begin to say, what does that mean? What does that mean to me? And how is that going to help me today?
Right.
So whatever trial we're going through, the Lord is my rock. And he's the one we stand on.
That's right. In a time of losing your home, where do you stand? You don't have a home to stand on at that point or stand in. And so being your rock, you know that he's going to be there, giving you some place to live and giving you the things that you need to just to survive.
And so as we look at that, we realize that he's our rock, our fortress, our deliverer, our God, our strength in whom we trust, our buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. And then verse 3 says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised.
That's right.
And that's exactly what he wants us to do after we realize who he is. He wants us to begin to call upon him. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. It says, who is worthy to be praised. Right. Usually when we're going through a battle, we want to wait till we get to the end of the battle and be able to see how it's going to come out, you know, and say, oh, God, wow, you did a wonderful job there. But the Bible doesn't say here that we're at the end of the battle, does it?
No.
No.
So he wants us to praise him when?
During it.
During it. Who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Shall is the future tense. So God says, okay, you're going through a battle. Here are your enemies. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Are you going to cry? Are you going to fall apart? Are you going to go into depression? Mm-hmm. Are you going to just wail and weep and say, Lord, where are you? And are you mad at me? And, you know, are you punishing me? No.
No.
It says, he is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Mm-hmm. So during the midst of that battle, he wants to hear praise. Now, that's not normal, is it?
No.
No.
So God is basically saying, I want you to live a supernatural life.
That's right.
Now, is that what God was teaching you during this time?
Oh, definitely. In fact, I remember some of the conversations we had with my brother, and each time we just kept pointing back to the Lord and how the Lord really blessed us during this, in that, number one, we weren't there in the house when the house burned. We could have died of smoke inhalation. It could have happened at that point. And so the fact that we weren't there was a blessing. Many people wouldn't look at it that way, but it is.
So you were doing what verse 3 says.
That's right.
You were praising the Lord in the midst of the battle.
The battle.
While Satan was doing everything he possibly could to distract you from the witnessing opportunity that you were praying to have, and you were praising God. Now, don't you know that ticked the devil?
Yes, it did.
Right.
Isn't it fun to do something that just hair-lips the devil?
You know, great.
And the devil says, man, what in the world? How can I get to them? In fact, notice verse 4. The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, cried unto my God, and he heard my voice. So you can see then that we're not talking about, well, you know, somebody hurt my feelings. We're not talking about little dinky things, are we?
No.
Not at all.
We're talking about life-changing disasters. And he said, I cried to God. Mm-hmm. You know, Tim, Jeannie, I think sometimes it's only when we get desperate for God that God becomes desperate for us.
Hmm. Well, that's true. We hadn't really had that many trials prior to this. And yet, with this trial, I believe he was trying to show us that we can trust in him, and he will be there no matter what. And he was, and he showed his power and his love for us through the entire time of trial.
That is amazing. And I'm sure your neighbors were watching, too.
Oh, right, right. It was our neighbor that called
right
about our house.
And so they would be watching. How are you going to respond when you're out of town and your house burns down? Okay, how are these Christians going to respond?
Hmm.
Neighbors watch too, don't they?
Right, very much.
And so as a result of the right response, God gives you a bigger opportunity for ministry. In fact, notice verse 19 of Psalm 18. It says, he brought me forth also into a large place. In other words, God gives you a larger area of service. He enlarges the service opportunities. He delivered me because he delighted in me. And so we see then that when we respond correctly, God gives us future opportunities for ministry.
Right. And that was seen too when we got back and we're at work, because we work with many people who don't know the Lord.
Right.
And we were able to share with them, even step by step, all the things being done
right
to the house,
the
months of being gone. And we were able to share the Lord and how the Lord is blessing us and taking care of us.
And many times they're thinking to themselves, that's not the way I'd respond if my house burned.
It's true. Right. And people even said that to us.
Right.
You know, they could not believe how, you know, we were dealing with it and reacting to it.
And that we were able to stay out there. You know, how could you do that? How could you still enjoy your vacation?
Right.
Right, right.
There is just so much to see out there, too, of God's beauty, and just to be even closer in touch with the Lord.
Right.
And just to experience, you know, his beautiful majesty of the mountains and that.
Because God wants to teach us who he is. And that's what gives us the stability to be able to stand. He wants to give us that stability. So go over to verse 36 in Psalm 18. It says, thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. In other words, he has given the psalmist a stability during these trials, that his feet won't slip.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the Lord was doing in your lives, wasn't he?
Right.
He was giving you a stability so that next time you face a test, and this is probably not going to be the last test you face.
Oh, sure. I have no doubt.
The next time you do, what are you going to remember?
Well, for me, just specifically, the fact that we hadn't had that many things really proving God's love and trust, you know, that we can trust in Him. This, to me, just showed that our trust and the ability to trust in Him is true. His promises are sure. You know, He is always going to be there. He's always going to be there to help us and get through it.
And that's what you'll remember.
That's what I remember.
So the next test that you're facing, you begin to say, okay, now the last time we were going through hard times, what did God do and who did we learn God was? As a result of that, the Bible says God never changes.
Right.
So if He was faithful back then, okay, this is a bigger one. I'm going to need more grace, Lord, but He promises to give us more grace.
That's right.
When the burdens grow greater, right. Sendeth more strength when the labors increase.
Grace upon grace.
To added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trial, His multiplied peace. Mm. And so consequently, the trials that we go through and the lessons we learn about God cause us to become stronger and have a stronger base so that the next time the test comes, we're not quite as flimsy. We have more of a stability. And that exactly is what happens when we spend time in the Word.
That's right.
Right. And He refines us through these fires, the fiery trials that we go through, refines us like gold.
Oh, true. And we basically see that the things that really don't need to be in our lives are kind of burned away.
Right.
That's true.
I didn't mean to use that word burn. That's exactly what He did, isn't it?
That's exactly what He did, yeah.
And to bring in perspective, too, the unimportance of material things.
Right.
Interesting, yeah. And so consequently, we get the perspective that God has in mind for us. Kind of like Adrian Rogers said, the end of all things is not things.
Right.
And how true that is then.
That's
and so
true.
You may be going through the loss of some things as you're sitting there in your home this morning or driving in your car or even at work at this point. And maybe you're beginning to question God, Lord, why would you allow me to lose so many things? Just remember, He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He is in control. If you lose things, look to Him, because no good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. He'll give you what you need if you look to Him. And so until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.